So among people today, attitudes towards religions vary widely. But how does God view the matter? Does he view all religion in a positive light? Our circuit overseer, Brother Nathan Garlock, will direct us in the Bible's answer in the discourse, How Does God Feel About Religion? Brother Garlock.
Well, that's an intriguing question for our theme here this afternoon. How does God feel about religion? But to begin, I'd like to ask you a question. How do you feel about religion? Interestingly, a recent survey showed that there are 19 major religions in the world. Now, besides those 19 major religions, there's at least 10,000 other religions. That's a lot of religions. You know, if you decided that you wanted to visit each one of these denominations and just visit one place of worship a day, do you know it would take you the next 27 years to get through them all? So there's lots of religion out there. And yet, isn't it true that despite the fact that there's more and more religion, there seems to be a negative trend toward how people view religion? There's a lot of people out there who, they believe in God, but they don't really want anything to do with organized religion. They might feel that religion is too complicated, it's not necessary. Or some have stronger views, they feel that organized religion is actually a big problem. A British poll of 64,303 people, 80% thought that, quote, religion is a cause of much misery and conflict in the world today. And no wonder they feel that way. I mean, don't we watch the news and you see these atrocities committed by who? People that claim to be very religious. So no wonder some are either repulsed by religion or at least indifferent toward it. In 2011, a census in England and Wales found that 60% of the population professed to be Christian. That's down from 72% in 2001. Less and less people are claiming to be Christian. Well, what about you? No doubt you would like to know more about God, otherwise you wouldn't be here today. So is it possible to draw close to Jehovah? Let's turn in our Bibles for the answer at Acts chapter 17 and verse 27. And look what this scripture reveals about Jehovah God. So Acts 17, verse 27. Now in verse 26, it mentions that God made all different kinds of people from different nations. But look at verse 27. So that they would seek God, if they might grope for him, and really find him, although in fact he's not far off from each one of us. So, you know, when you think about that verse, we could grope for God and really find him. You know, when do you grope for something? You know, just imagine you're in a room, maybe with a dear friend, and all of a sudden the lights go off. It's pitch black. What's the first thing you do, eh? You start groping. Oh, there you are. Oh, okay, at least I'm not alone here. When people grope for God, it says he's right near them. They might not have known that, but he wants to draw close to people. Well, when we think about drawing close to Jehovah, you know, our whole assembly program, the Imitate Jehovah Assembly, we're learning about his beautiful qualities, his elevated thinking. And it moves us to want to draw closer to him. How do we do that? Do we do it through a religion? How does God feel about religion? That's the question we're going to answer for the next few minutes. So first of all, how does God feel? That's an interesting word. You know, it doesn't say what does God think of or does he agree. How does he feel about religion? When you think about being concerned about someone's feelings, usually it's someone you care about, that you're worried about how they're feeling about something. So for example, maybe you're planning to invite your parents for a meal, and Well, you know that your father hates fish. He just loathes fish. So you're thinking about what to cook for your parents, and you maybe you watch the Food Channel, and there's a chef, and well, he's doing a fish and chips recipe. And while he's cooking this fish and chips, he looks at the televised audience, he looks at you, and he says, "This is the kind of fish and chips that all dads love." Now, what are you going to do? See, you know your dad hates fish. But the chef said that all dads love this fish and chips. So what are you going to do? Well, you're not going to make fish. See, you know how your father feels about fish. Because of that, you're not going to be fooled by any claims by a chef. In the same way, when we understand how our Heavenly Father feels about religion, then we're able to make a decision of how not to draw close to Him and how to effectively draw close to Him. What's going to make Him happy? So let's spend a few minutes learning from the Bible how God feels about corrupt religious leaders. Let's start with that. So let's turn in the Bible to Micah chapter 3. As we turn to Micah, that's what we're going to try and discern. You know, religious leaders who are in it for the money, who maybe take advantage of people for money, how does God feel about that? Micah 3, verse 11 reveals it. Now, bear in mind, we're talking here in Micah during his time. The religious leaders worshipped at Jerusalem, at the temple, which was situated on a hill in Jerusalem, or a mountain. So look what it says here, Micah 3:11. It says, "Her leaders judge for a bribe. Her priests instruct for a price. And her prophets practice divination for money. And yet they lean on Jehovah, saying, 'Is not Jehovah with us? No calamity will come upon us.' So because of you, Zion will be plowed up as a field. Jerusalem will become heaps of ruins, and the mountain of the house will become like high places in a forest." So that last verse tells about Jehovah's judgment on that religion. Why? Well, it mentioned there what the religious leaders were doing. They were carrying out their duties not to benefit the people, but for money. They were corrupt. So what does this teach us? Well, just like our dad hates fish, Jehovah loathes corrupt religious leaders. He does not approve of it. Now, what about the people that worship him? Does it matter to God how the people are? Or does he just accept everybody no matter how they live? Let's find out. Turn with me, please, to Jeremiah chapter 6. Now, here again, we're talking about worship in ancient Israel, where they would go to the temple to worship God, and they would bring a sacrifice. They would also offer up frankincense. And they would do this with prayers in their worship, in their religion to Jehovah God. So did Jehovah accept the worship of these people? Let's find out. Jeremiah 6, verse 19. "Listen, O earth, I am bringing calamity on this people as the fruitage of their own schemes, for they paid no attention to my words, and they rejected my law. What do I care that you bring frankincense from Sheba and sweet cane from a distant land? Your whole burnt offerings are not acceptable, and your sacrifices do not please me." Isn't that interesting? So what does this teach us about Jehovah's feelings about religion? Well, did you notice there that the people were bringing expensive offerings? Like frankincense, this wasn't just any frankincense. This was frankincense, which was a very, very valuable ointment, oil, and it came from Sheba, very far away. This would have been very expensive to offer. And yet Jehovah didn't want any part of that. Why? He reveals it in verse 19. The people that were coming to worship him paid no attention to his words or his commands. What does this teach us about Jehovah's feelings? Well, just to illustrate, imagine that every day for supper, I ate a hamburger and French fries, but I washed it down with fresh squeezed orange juice and a fruit platter. Am I a healthy eater? I mean, I could even tell people, you know, I eat fruit every day. Yeah, but what about the hamburger and French fries? You see, just by eating some fruit, but not taking care of the rest, that doesn't make me a healthy eater. In the same way, if I go to church and I worship God, but in my life I'm not really caring about his commands, does that make me a spiritually healthy person, just the fact that I go to church? What about the way I live? So we learn how Jehovah feels about worship. When it's corrupt, whether by the religious leaders or whether it's corrupt people following it, Jehovah does not approve. He loathes corrupt religion. So the next question is all religion bad? How does Jehovah feel about any religion? Well, let's find the answer in the Bible. Let's turn to James chapter 1. And we'll look at verse 27. So again, the question is, does God hate all religion? So James 1, verse 27 gives us the answer. It says, "The form of worship that is clean and undefiled from the standpoint of our God and Father is this: to look after orphans and widows in their tribulation, and to keep oneself without spot from the world." So obviously those two areas of looking after widows and orphans and keeping spotless from the world, those are things that are going to help us to be approved as a worshiper of Jehovah God. But remember the question we were looking for? Does God hate all religion? Did you notice the answer in the verse? Like, look at the beginning of the verse. It says, "The form of worship that is clean and undefiled from the standpoint of our God is this." Now, when you look at that expression, form of worship, just look at the footnote in your New World Translation. It says, "or religion." Isn't that interesting? So the religion that is clean, doesn't that teach us something? So remember the question, does God hate all religion? You know, it's like that meal, right? You want to invite your mom and dad for a meal. Maybe you're newly married, and so your parents are coming. Now, your wife, this is her new father-in-law, and she doesn't know him maybe that well, and she's thinking what to cook for him. You know, she wants to please him. So she suggests to you, she says, "You know what? I was thinking of making fish." Now, right away, you're going to tell her, "Oh, no, don't go there. He hates fish." And then maybe the wife says, "Is he vegetarian? Does he hate all meat?" And then what do you say? You say, "The form of meat that he likes is beef." So right there, you're telling her, it's not that he hates all meat. There's a form of meat that he likes. What did we read there in James? The form of worship that's approved by God. So there's a religion, there's a form of worship that he likes. Now, the question is, how can we tell that we're worshiping God the way he likes, the undefiled and clean way of worshiping him? Well, the Bible gives us the answer. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7 and find out what Jesus revealed about this way of worship that's clean. So Matthew 7, and we'll look at verses 13 to 20. So Matthew 7, verse 13. We'll start there. Jesus says, "Go in through the narrow gate, because broad is the gate and spacious is the road leading off into destruction. And many are going in through it. Whereas narrow is the gate and cramped the road leading off into life, and few are finding it." So let's just pause there for a moment. So when it comes to this topic of religion, what do a lot of people believe with regard to all the thousands of religions? Maybe you've heard this before. Many people will say, "You know what? All religions are just different roads leading to God." So how many roads are there according to what Jesus said? Are there 10,000 roads? No, there's only two. And do they all lead to God? No, it says one leads to destruction and the other one leads to life or approval by God. So now, at first, when you read these verses, you might think, well, hang on a minute. Maybe what it means is that if you're an unbeliever, you know, if you don't believe in God, then you're on the road to destruction. But as long as I'm a believer, as long as I worship Him somehow, then I'm on the road to life. Well, is that what it means? Let's read on and find out. Verse 15 says, "Be on the watch for the false prophets who come to you in sheep's covering, but inside they are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will recognize them. Never do people gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles, do they? Likewise, every good tree produces fine fruit, but every rotten tree produces worthless fruit. A good tree cannot bear worthless fruit, nor can a rotten tree produce fine fruit. Every tree not producing fine fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Really then, by their fruits you will recognize those men." So these two roads have very much to do with true and false religion. That's why Jesus said right away in verse 15, be on the watch. Watch out for false prophets, for those who are taking the lead religiously but are false. In fact, if you were to read on in 21 to 23, Jesus even says that those who call out to him, Lord, Lord, well, now who would call Jesus Lord? Wouldn't someone who calls Jesus Lord consider themselves a Christian? Like, if they view Jesus as their Lord, they're Christian, right? Even says they would do prophesying, expel demons, powerful works in verse 22. And then in verse 23, what does he say? Jesus says, get away from me. Why? Well, because in verse 21, he says, only the one doing the will of my Father is approved. What does all this teach us? It teaches us that there's two roads, and there's two ways to worship Jehovah God, acceptably or unacceptably. So how do you know? How do we know which road we're on? How do we know if we're on the right road when it comes to worshiping God acceptably? Well, just pause here for a second and, you know, think about a situation where you need to know the right road. Like, let's imagine you're in a city that you're not familiar with and you're lost. So what do you do? Well, if you're a man, you drive lost for a long time. But if you're a woman, you'll stop and you'll ask for directions. And so, you know, maybe the first person you talk to, you say, you know, I don't know where I am and I'm trying to get there. And what do they say? First person says, you want to go west. Oh, okay. Not too sure that this person really understood. So you ask another person. And the second person says, oh, you want to go east. Well, you go and you ask a third person. You know what the third person says? He looks at you, very genuine. He says, go the way you feel. The fourth person you ask takes out a map, shows you where you are on the map, shows you where you want to go, and points out the route that you need to take to be on the right road, and gives you the map. Well, now you have more confidence that it's going to work out. You know, in a similar way, when it comes to these roads to worship Jehovah acceptably, we have a map, the Bible. It's given to all of us. And from looking at it, we're able to see where we are in our worship and how to reach God's approval. So let's use the map. Let's go back to that account that we just read in Matthew chapter 7. Did you notice the gauge Jesus gave for identifying true worship? It was right there in verse 16. He said, by their fruits you will recognize them. And look at verse 20. Really then, by their fruits you will recognize those men. Now, what did he mean by their fruits you'll recognize good religion? Well, fruitage, he's talking about the works that individuals would do. Is it good works? Are these good people? If we were to find true religion, we should see it producing good fruitage in its worshipers. So, what does that mean, by their fruits? Like, how would you gauge good in people? Is it just doing good things? Well, how do you know that a tree is producing good fruit? Well, you'd have to kind of know a little bit about what to expect from that fruit. Okay, here around Edmonton or Pinoca or Wainwright, you know, maybe you don't have a lot of fruit trees, like it's not the Okanagan here. But you got a lot of supermarkets, right? So how do you know if a supermarket is good? Isn't it by the fact that it sells fresh fruit? But you kind of have to know about fruit to really know whether it's really good fruit, don't you? Like, have you seen the watermelon bin that comes every summer? So you take a big bin, you got full of watermelons. How do you pick a good watermelon? Well, if you've ever been at the side of those bins and you watch people, there are all kinds of rituals that people perform when they're picking the watermelon. You look at, really? Is that what we do? They tap it, they listen to it. Oh, maybe it's talking to them. Well, I thought I knew how to pick a good watermelon until I went on the internet. And I saw a video from this, you're not going to believe this, it's the spokesman for the National Watermelon Promotion Board of the United States of America. Did you know there was such a thing? They're promoting watermelons. Now this woman, the spokesman for this watermelon promotion board, she showed in this video that there's three things you look for when picking a good watermelon. What are they? Number one, the watermelon must be symmetrical. You know, it doesn't have to, you know, you can't have a soft spot here and it's hard over here. Symmetrical. Number two, watermelon, you're looking for a heavy watermelon. And number three, there's a spot on the wet watermelon where it sits in the garden. And as it ripens, that spot, well, when it's not ripe, it's green. So as it ripens, you want that green spot to turn into a buttery yellow color. That tells you it's ripe. So those are the three things you look for. Symmetrical, heavy. That spot turns from green to buttery yellow. That's what the spokesman for the Watermelon Promotion Board told me. Did you know that Jehovah God has a spokesman? Jesus Christ. And he tells us how to find the right fruitage for true religion. So let's find out what three things he mentions, and we can compare it to what we learned about watermelons even. Let's take a look at John 13, verse 35. The watermelons will help us with this memory aid of what we're looking for with regard to true religion that's acceptable by Jehovah. So Jehovah's spokesman Jesus, look what he reveals at John 13, verse 35. He says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love among yourselves." Remember the watermelon, what the first thing you look for? It's symmetrical. It's even. One of the things we look for in true worship is that love is shown evenly. Regardless of race, color, background, the people that worship God in the way he approves would show that kind of love all the time. What's the second thing you look for in a watermelon? Remember, it was heavy. Well, with regard to true worshipers, everything that's taught has the weight of God's word behind it. So that means that if they teach something about the future, the hope for the future, it comes from the weight of God's word. Teach about moral standards. They don't water it down. They hold to God's word. Teach about the purpose of life. Where would that come from? The weight of God's word. So whether you're picking a watermelon or you're identifying true worship, its weight counts. You want it heavy. You want it to be backed up by God's word. And what was the third thing you look for in a watermelon? It was that green spot. To show that it's ripened, it turns buttery yellow. You know, in the same way, worshipers of Jehovah, of the true religion, they would change for the better. They would ripen spiritually. Why? Well, because they're trying to imitate Jehovah. They become better and better people. Now, some might kind of not accept that. They think, well, wait a minute. I don't know if it's good for us to be expected to change as a person when we worship God. Why shouldn't he just accept me as I am? In fact, some churches say, come as you are. We accept people as they are. Is that how God feels, though, to just accept everybody as they are? It's actually only half true. Of course Jehovah wants people from any background. But once they come, what does he expect? You know, think about yourself. Maybe you want to show hospitality to a family that you found out is in need. Now, probably for you, it won't matter what country they come from or what economic background they're from. So they come to your house as they are, and you accept them as they are into your home. In fact, you're so hospitable, you make fresh baked buns for that meal. So they come as they are. You're happy to have them. But would you want them to wash their hands before they pass you a bun? You see, it matters that they clean themselves up. In the same way, Jehovah God accepts people, come as you are. But once you come, he wants us to clean ourselves up. We should start to ripen and become better and better, just like that watermelon. And when we do, that's a mark of true religion. So what have we learned from our discussion? Well, we've learned that we can judge what's acceptable to Jehovah when it comes to religion. Now, again, some people might object. They might say, well, now, we're not supposed to be judgmental. And it's true, it would be wrong to question the sincerity of others' beliefs. But, you know, it's also wrong to condone religion that selfishly exploits sincere people. You know, just to think back to that supermarket illustration, imagine that the supermarket that you went to had an unscrupulous grocer. And what he decided to do was he was selling packaged fruit, but on the top was the good fruit, underneath was all rotten fruit. And you found out. And you brought it to his attention. Hey, what are you doing here? You're selling rotten fruit. And what does he say? Stop being so judgmental. Would you stop? Would you say, yeah, I guess I was wrong to judge. I mean, who's to say? Maybe that fruit is okay. You know what? I'll take the rotten fruit. No, you wouldn't do that. In fact, you'd probably warn others. You'd tell them, hey, do you know what he's trying to do to you? You see, we can judge for ourselves good fruit. In the same way, it is proper to judge for ourselves the good fruitage of true religion. In fact, Jehovah God, he's looking for people to do just that. Let's turn to a beautiful scripture in John chapter 4. Verses 23 and 24. So John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Jesus is speaking here. He says, nevertheless, the hour is coming, and it is now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father with spirit and truth. For indeed, the Father is looking for ones like these to worship him. God is a spirit, and those worshiping him must worship with spirit and truth. So what do you learn from those verses? Does it matter how we worship? Yeah, matters to God. It says the Father's looking for ones like these. Like who? Those who want to worship God in truth and with spirit. When Jehovah sees sincerity in people, wanting to worship him the way he wants, he is so happy, and he blesses such ones. Well, when we think about our talk here this afternoon, we've learned that Jehovah God, he has feelings about religion. What are they? Well, while he hates corrupt religion, he abhors it. At the same time, he treasures devotion rendered with spirit and truth by those who conform to his word because they love him. And you know, when people worship Jehovah God, they don't do things just because they have to. They do it because they want to. And people in the world find that hard to understand. You know, one woman said to a witness, she said, you know what, you couldn't get me to go door to door to talk about my religion. And our sister looked at her and said, yeah, you know, before you couldn't get me to talk about religion either. But now I want to. You see, when we grow to know Jehovah God, his beautiful qualities, the kind of God he is, we not only draw close to him, but we want to tell others about it. So in conclusion, how does Jehovah feel about religion? Jehovah has strong feelings about religion. He intends to execute judgment on corrupt religion just as he did in the past. If he has strong feelings about religion, then we, as imitators of him, should have strong feelings about it too. May we reject worship that dishonors God and zealously worship Jehovah God in the way that he approves.
Thank you, Brother Garlock, for that enlightening discourse.